Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gland Pharma Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivas from the Investor Relations team. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rayo. Good evening, everyone. We welcome you to Gland Pharma earnings conference call for Q3 of FY26. I'm Srinivas Sanghi from the Investor Relations team at Gland Pharma. Today, we have Mr. Srinivas Sadu, Executive Chairman, Mr. Shyamakant Giri, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ravi Mitra, Chief Financial Officer from India office, and Mr. Alain, CEO of Cenexi, who is connected virtually from France. We will begin the call with the business highlights from Mr. Sadu, followed by operational highlights from Mr. Giri. This will be taken up by updates about Cenexi from Mr. Alain, and lastly, the group financial overview by Mr. Ravi. Before we proceed, I would like to remind everyone that some of the statements made today will be forward-looking and are based on management's current estimates. These statements should be considered in light of the risk associated with our business. This call is being recorded. The playback and our website shortly. I hand over the call to Mr. Sadu for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Srinivas. Good evening, everyone, and wishing you all a very happy and prosperous New Year. Welcome to Gland Pharma's earnings call for Q3 and nine months ended FY26. I will begin with a brief strategic overview, following which our CEO, Mr. Shyamakant Giri, will provide operational updates. Alain will then share an update on Cenexi, and Ravi will walk you through our financial performance. Now, let me give you our performance overview. I'm pleased to report that quarter three FY26 was a strong quarter, marked by solid revenue growth and improved profitability, reinforcing our confidence in full-year FY26 performance. During the quarter, revenues grew by 22% year-on-year to rupees 16,954 million, with broad-based growth across businesses, including Cenexi. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 25% year-on-year to rupees 4,490 million, supported by higher base business revenues, continued traction in CDMO programs, cost efficiency initiatives, and a visible EBITDA turnaround at Cenexi. For the nine months ended FY26, revenue grew by 12%, while adjusted EBITDA increased by 26%. This reflects strong execution, better operating leverage, and disciplined capital allocation. We remain confident in sustaining this momentum, supported by upcoming product launches, ramp-up of recently secured CDMO contracts, and incremental contributions from new capacities. Looking at the growth drivers and pipeline expansion, we're significantly expanding our cartridge fill and finish capacity from 40 million to 140 million units. Beyond cartridges and GLP-1s, our pipeline of complex products, including hormones, suspensions, peptides, RTU bags, co-development programs, biosimilars, and specialty injectable platforms, provides long-term growth visibility. We also secured multiple new CDMO partnerships across oncology, peptides, and prefilled syringes. What are our strategic focus areas? Our strategy is anchored on growth, capability, efficiency, and ROCE, with a clear objective of building Gland Pharma into a high-end, innovation-led CDMO and specialty injectables company. This translates into focus on CapEx and brownfield expansions to build differentiated capabilities, R&D investments to strengthen the product pipeline, cost efficiency initiatives to protect margins, new contract wins to drive sustained revenue growth, and Cenexi turnaround to enhance profitability. On the brownfield expansion front, over the next five years, we plan to invest approximately rupees 2,000 crores in CapEx, primarily towards BSS and ophthalmic lines, as well as CapEx towards CDMO contracts. Brownfield expansions will include new lines, lyophilizers, and additional warehouse capacity. India's pharmaceutical industry is undergoing one of the most exciting transformations in global healthcare. Rising R&D investments are fueling complex molecules, novel therapies, and deeper manufacturing capabilities. This is not just growth, it's strategic evolution. India Pharma is moving from being the pharmacy of the world to becoming a global innovation hub. Our investments are aimed at not only to support growth of base business, strong pipeline of CDMO contracts, but also pipeline of complex, differentiated, and higher value products, and will help us grow not just from volume-led, but also from value-led products as well. Selective and disciplined capital deployment will ensure strong ROC, healthy cash generation, and effective working capital management. Cost efficiency and margin sustainability is key to success. While driving growth, maintaining healthy margins remains a key priority. Our cost savings initiatives include yield improvement, alternate vendor development, alternative energy sourcing, enhanced line efficiencies, operational excellence programs, and automation. These measures typically deliver savings of 1 to 2 percentage points, helping offset any pricing pressure or product mix impact. Sustained base margins are supported by process optimization and alternate API sourcing, portfolio rationalization, focusing on higher margin products, reallocation of capacity toward complex and niche formulations, increased automation and digitalization to improve productivity and reduce waste. R&D is also becoming a core differentiator, both in speed and delivering differentiated products for Gland. Our R&D investments continue to increase, reflecting our commitment to differentiated pipeline. During this quarter, we invested 5.4% of revenues in R&D, primarily focused on complex injectables, advanced delivery systems, and platform-based development. We filed 9 ANDAs, received 4 approvals, and launched 10 new products in the US. Our R&D bag portfolio continues to scale, with 20 products filed, 16 approved, and 13 under development, addressing an estimated market opportunity of $685 million. Our core development pipeline now includes 15 products under active development across high potential categories, including 7 505(b)(2) filings and 8 ANDAs, reinforcing our focus on differentiated injectable platforms. There are new contract wins during the quarter. Long-term growth is being driven through new superior and technically differentiated CDMO contracts with large pharma companies, in-licensing opportunities for complex products, and expansion beyond traditional B2B models. We have entered into a few long-term CDMO contracts for already commercialized products. By these required dedicated lines, it can add revenues over the medium term with durable revenue visibility. In the GLP-1M CAR-T segment, newer partnerships are getting added further, strengthening our medium to long-term growth outlook. I am pleased to inform you that our partner has received approval for liraglutide in the US, and we are ready for the US launch in this quarter. On Cenexi turnaround update, Cenexi delivered revenues of €50 million and EBITDA of €1 million during the quarter, in line with our guidance. Performance improved through focused capacity debottlenecking, contract repricing to account for inflation, workforce optimization, higher utilization, and deeper operational integration with Gland. We continue to see steady progress in stabilizing the business and building a foundation for profitable growth, with additional synergies expected over the coming quarters. We expect Cenexi to remain on a growth trajectory through the mid to long term. The overarching objective of these initiatives is to enhance not just care, but also the quality of earnings and capital productivity, ensuring sustainable value creation for shareholders. Our strategic direction remains clear: to build Gland Pharma into a global innovation-led injectable and CDMO company that consistently delivers revenue growth, margin expansion, and superior capital efficiency. Thank you for your continued trust and support. I will now invite our CEO, Mr. Shyamakant Giri, to share his perspective on the operational and business performance.
Thank you, Mr. Saru. Good evening, everyone, and my best wishes for the new year. Thank you for joining us today. This was a strong quarter, with 22% revenue growth and solid profitability. Adjusted EBITDA margins were 26% and adjusted PAT margins 16%. Growth was broad-based with strong results in both Gland's core business and Cenexi, where we met our near-term quarterly sales target of €50 million. In quarter 3 FY26, we posted robust growth in the regulated market. Revenue rose 19% in the US and 54% in Europe, driven partly by 39% top-line growth at Cenexi. Given this momentum, we are confident we can maintain full-year FY26 growth. Let me now walk you through our consolidated performance. In Q3 FY26, Consolidated revenue was INR 16,954 million, up 22% year-on-year. Consolidated adjusted EBITDA grew 25% to INR 4,490 million, supported by Cenexi reaching break-even. Consolidated EBITDA margin was 26%. Our year-to-date numbers show strong progress. For the first 9 months of FY26, consolidated revenue reached INR 46,879 million, up 12% over nine months FY25. Adjusted EBITDA was INR 11,582 million, with margins up to 25% from 22% last year, driven by better base business performance and the Cenexi turnaround. I will now highlight the performance of our base business and Gland, excluding Cenexi, before detailing performance by each key market segment. The US market, we launched 9 molecules in Q3 FY26, including Argatroban, Acetazolamide, and Doxycycline. US revenue grew 16% year-on-year, INR 8,290 million in quarter 3, and reached INR 23,446 million for 9 months FY26. In other regulated markets like Europe, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, they generated INR 881 million in quarter 3 FY26, reflecting a 16% year-on-year increase. For the 9 months ended FY26, revenues from this market reached INR 2,454 million, marking a 17% year-on-year rise. In the ROW market, it grew by 12%, contributing to INR 1,876 million in Q3 FY26. In ROW, own product revenue grew 7%, while tech transfer and CMO revenues increased 44%. For 9 months FY26, RO revenues were INR 5,444 million, up 5%. India generated revenues of INR 744 million in Q3 FY26, up 32% year-on-year. For 9 months FY26, India business revenues were INR 2,002 million, which is 6% of the total base revenues. Cenexi delivered a strong performance. Quarterly revenues were Euro 50 million, up 21% in constant currency. For 9 months FY26, Cenexi revenue rose to Euro 138 million from Euro 121 million last year, a 14% constant currency increase. This performance reflects disciplined execution over the past year, including higher capacity utilization, contract renegotiations, workforce rationalization, new product ramp-ups, and stronger integration with Gland in business development, tech transfer, and shared functions. With several strategic initiatives underway, including expanding the ampoule line at Fontenay and adding a vial and a combo lines at BLA, we are confident in Cenexi's medium and long-term growth, despite inherent quarter-to-quarter fluctuations. Overall, this quarter we strengthened our market footprint, driven by broader reach and more traction from our differentiated high-value product portfolio. Our commitment to quality and regulatory compliance is unwavering, and so is the strong cost discipline and operational efficiency. We remain focused on building capabilities through organic and inorganic investments, talent development, and leadership. We believe this effort positions us for sustained growth and long-term value. In summary, our strong results this quarter reaffirm our strategic direction and ability to deliver sustained value. We are well positioned to seize future opportunities and drive long-term success. I will now invite Ala to provide more details on Cenexi's performance. Over to you, Ala.
Thank you, Mr. Giri. Good evening and Happy New Year to everyone. This has been a strong quarter at Cenexi, and we are pleased to have delivered on our guidance. Cenexi recorded €50 million in revenue this quarter, a 21% increase over the same period last year, and the highest quarterly revenue during CY 2025. All sites show the major revenue improvement compared to the previous year, with a pickup in revenues from Hérouville and Fontenay. We are happy to inform you that we delivered an EBITDA of €1.4 million in Q3 FY26, in line with our guidance. This underscores that our turnaround strategy is gaining momentum. During the first 9 months of FY26, revenue stands at €138 million, reflecting a 14% growth year over year and an EBITDA improvement by €10 million. I will now provide key site-level updates. First, at Fontenay, we are investing in a new high-capacity ampoule line, adding 30 million in capacity by 2027. This will strengthen the position of the site on the market as the largest ampoule manufacturing site in Europe. The site will continue to improve realization by passing on price increases to customers in line with inflation and regulatory requirements. The activity of our Hérouville site continues to grow strongly, supported by the continuous ramp-up in production of two products launched in 2025, an inactivated vaccine and a sterile ophthalmic gel. Both sites in Braine-l'Alleud and Osny maintain strong momentum and profitability. At Braine, we are planning to install a new vial line under an isolator. Also, we will install a new combo line for prefilled syringes and cartridges in 2026. This line will significantly increase our manufacturing capacity and allow us to attract new high-value projects. We remain confident in our outlook for calendar year 2026. The strategic initiatives and investments made so far are expected to begin delivering meaningful results from 2026 onwards, setting the stage for sustained momentum. Thank you for your attention. I now invite Ravi to take you through our financial performance in more detail. Ravi, over to you.
Thank you, Alain. Good evening and a very happy New Year to everyone. Thank you for joining us today as we review our financial performance for the third quarter and nine months of FY26. I am pleased to share that Q3 FY26 was a strong quarter for us, marked by healthy revenue momentum across key markets and continued improvement in profitability. Our consolidated revenue for the quarter stood at rupees 16,954 million, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 22%. The base business performed well, with revenues of rupees 11,790, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 16%, supported by broad-based growth across Europe. Cenexi also delivered a solid performance, with revenues increasing 39% year-on-year to INR 5,164 million. Overall, gross margins for the quarter were 66%, broadly in line with the previous year and higher compared to 63% of the previous quarter. Excluding Cenexi, base business gross margins stood at 61% versus 63% last year, primarily due to product mix and similar to Q2 of FY26. Our performance for nine months FY26 has been equally robust. Consolidated revenue for the nine-month period reached rupees 46,879 million, a year-on-year increase of 12%. Base business revenues came in at rupees 32,965 million, while Cenexi revenues rose 26% year-on-year to rupees 13,913 million. Overall, gross margins improved to 65%, up from 62% last year, driven by a favorable business and product mix. Excluding Cenexi, base business gross margins were 60% compared to 57% in the previous year. Expenses during both Q3 FY26 and nine months FY26 were higher, primarily on account of increased R&D investments, employee costs, and certain one-time items. R&D expenses for the quarter stood at rupees 650 million, representing 5.4% of sales, up from rupees 437 million last year, demonstrating increase in R&D efforts and filings. Our R&D programs, including complex pipeline, continue to progress well. For the nine-month period, R&D expenses were rupees 1,725 million, or 5.2%, compared to rupees 1,419 million last year. During Q3 FY26, Adjusting for ESOP-related non-cash expense of rupees 141 million, EBITDA stood at rupees 4,490 million, margins of 26%. The EBITDA margins were in line with Q3 FY25 despite increased R&D spend. For the base business, excluding Cenexi, adjusted EBITDA was rupees 4,342 million with a margin of 37%. We are particularly pleased that Cenexi delivered positive EBITDA of rupees 148 million during the quarter. For 9 months FY26, adjusted EBITDA after excluding ESOP-related expense and one-off items stood at rupees 11,582 million with a margin of 25%. For the base business, excluding Cenexi, adjusted EBITDA was rupees 11,965 million with margin of 36%. Cenexi's EBITDA loss narrowed significantly to rupees 383 million compared to 1,283 million rupees last year, a meaningful improvement. Other income, comprising mainly foreign exchange gains and interest from bank deposit, amounted to rupees 632 million in Q3 FY26 and rupees 2049 million for 9 months FY26. After adjusting for an exceptional wage code related impact of rupees 243 million and its consequent tax effects, net profit for the quarter stood at rupees 2,797 million, translating to adjusted PAT margin of 16% against 15% in Q3 FY25. Adjusted net profit for 9 months FY26 came in at rupees 6789 million rupees with margin of 14% compared to 12% last year. On a standalone basis, our effective tax rate for the quarter was 25%. As of December 31st, 2025, total cash and equivalents at the group level were rupees 30,525 million, including non-callable deposit of rupees 3,960 million. External debt at the Cenexi level stood at rupees 3,363 million. Cash flow from operation was rupees 337 million for the Q3 FY26 and rupees 6,269 million for 9 months FY26. Our cash conversion cycle averaged 166 days for the first 9 months and improvement from 172 days at the end of FY25, largely driven by better inventory and receivable management. Total capex during the first 9 months of FY26 amounted to rupees 3,566 million, primarily directed towards new projects at Cenexi, capacity and capability upgrades at our India facility, and regular maintenance capex. For this full year FY26, capex for the base business is expected to be around rupees 2,500 million and euro 25 million at Cenexi. With that, I would now request to open the line for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, on this CMO contract, if you could also share what the size of this contract and the timeline for completing this contract and starting timeline for this contract. The one with respect to oncology with big
pharma. Sure, you're referring to the new CDMO contract. New CDMO contract. That's the timeline is 28, probably third or fourth quarter, end of 28. And that the expected revenue is around 25-30 million per year.
USD 25 to 30 million per year starting N 28. Correct?
Yeah, correct. Yes.
So this would require certain capex from our side, and which is why this contract timing is end of 28?
Yes. So it's a dedicated, it's a complex product. So we have to create some dedicated compounding area for this product. So that's why we need this time, and then the tech transfer
and then the variation filing. It's a commercial product in Europe and many countries. So the variation filing has to happen in Europe, several countries. So that's why the commercialization happened in third or fourth quarter of 28.
And how much CapEx would you be requiring for this project?
About 80 crores.
Got it, sir. So the second one, if you could also share US-Europe constant currency growth for the quarter on a year-on-year basis.
About 5%.
In US and in Europe.
Overall, it's around 5%. You can take overall.
For the base business.
Yeah.
Got it. And just lastly, if I may, if you could share milestone and profit share for the quarter.
Profit share is around 9% and the milestone around 7%.
Thank you, sir. I have no question. I'll join the meeting. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have two questions. One, if you could give us a sense on how the Cenexi trajectory should play out more going forward from here on. And second, in your initial address, you did call out about investing 2,000 crores. If you could give more color in terms of what is the timeline within which you're looking at investing at, you know, the approval timelines and kind of, you know, asset turns that you would look out of these investments, given that it's going to be a mix of both volume as well as value. Thanks.
So I'll take the CapEx question first. So we would be building a brownfield expansion of a capacity which would be adding to existing vial, lyo, other delivery formats. And that is considering the increased demand and other expectations we have. In addition to that, we are also putting up VFS line. We are putting up the ophthalmic line, which is a suspension line. And this would be spent over a period of next 5 years. So next year, our CapEx should be around more than 400 crores. And the asset turn should be more than around 3x, considering the high-value business we are expecting in this new facility.
On the Cenexi question, go ahead.
Just to follow up on this, I mean, what is driving this kind of confidence? I mean, from the point of view of customers, you did call out demand, you did call out India being an innovation hub. So if you could just elaborate in terms of the structure of the industry, you know, because it's a sizable portion now, from the point of view of where your gross block is today and the kind of investment that you're committing.
So one is on the ophthalmic side, the current capacity, we have almost, we're not able to cater to actually the demand. And we have several products under approval stage and we need the additional capacity. Ophthalmic line, which also has capability of suspensions. Today, we don't have ophthalmic line with suspension capability. So that's a need. There are several key products in that space. So that's one line we're investing into. The BFS, there are some specialty products on blow-filled syringe technology, which we want to get into. And we also see in the market, in several markets, the 3Ps is also moving to BFS technology. And currently, we only have a 3Ps line. And we're not able to sell, cater to the ROW business because of lack of this BFS technology also. So as an injectable company, you need that technology. And also the way the market is moving, we need to be ahead of the curve. So that's one of the reasons we want to invest into BFS. But there are also several, we have done some code of projects we're doing, which falls under BFS, which are under specialty category. So, you know, that's the other one. In terms of additional capacities, we are running out, I would say next 1.5 years, we'll be running out of lyo capacities. If you see the growth coming from our, if you look at last few quarters growth, the volume growth is larger. Even last quarter, if you see volume growth is almost 19% in the US. So while the prices drop, so we are aggressively looking at, while we have reduced our costs internally, we have become more efficient. So we are utilizing that gain to get more contracts in the US. And that's why we did mention in our last couple of quarters that we worked on efficiencies, we got down our cost down, and that's why we're able to win a lot of contracts and GPO contracts in the US. And the supply started from this quarter. So the volumes are higher, so we need those capacities as well. So it is, and also the fourth aspect is the CDMO contracts, which are entering. Some contracts are backed by commercial quantities, where the players are entering into different segments and we're trying to move the commercial products to our sites. So we need to invest into that as well. So there are a lot more focus on the CDMO contracts last 12 to 18 months. So that business we're trying to grow substantially. But not into me-too generic kind of products, more complex, specialty kind of products. And also focusing on commercialized products where the revenues are, you have clear visibility on revenues in next 2 to 3 years with worst case take-or-pay agreements, I would say.
And Tarang, on your next question, you know, the performance in this quarter reflects a disciplined execution over past so many quarters, including capacity utilization, workforce, you know, rationalization, optimization, ramp-ups, and all of that. So there will be quarter-to-quarter fluctuation, but overall on an analyst basis, we EBITDA to remain positive. We are confident in Cenexi's medium to long-term growth.
Just a follow-up on Cenexi, so would it be fair to presume that a 50 million euro is a good baseline to work with now?
Yes.
So on an annual basis, yes, you can take it 200, but there could be some quarter-to-quarter fluctuations. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My first question is again on the CAPEX number. The 2,000 crores that we had mentioned, how much of this would be for Cenexi versus the base business?
This is for base business, Neha.
Okay. So that means we're nearly doubling the gross block or nearly doubling the gross block in you know, once this CAPEX is completed.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. And what would be the average utilization of the existing capacity that we have? And, you know, at what point do you think, you know, capacity becomes a constraint for the group? I mean, how soon do we need to get this capacity up and running to maintain, you know, the mid-teen growth that you've guided to?
It depends on the lines, but most of the lines we are running at 80 to 90% capacity. Some lines are almost chock-a-block. Only pre-filled syringe we have enough capacity, and we're not investing into that. And of course, the cartridge, these are new technologies we got into. Those we have enough capacities. But if you look at lyophilizers or liquid vials. And also, I think those are almost, we're running at, most of the lines are at 90% capacity, a few lines at 40-50%. So at least for the next 2 years, we need to invest into additional capacities. So this 2,000 crores will be spread across next few years.
Understood. My second question is on, you know, the overall guidance. I think we had mentioned a mid-teens guidance. I think we're tracking it about 12%. And there was hope of a large product launched by a partner in the U.S., which seems to have been delayed. You know, based on the 12% growth in the 9 months, do we still have confidence in that 15%? And what's the update on the Dalba launch by the partner?
Good thing is that approval in 6 countries in Europe. So we launched in December in 6 of the European countries. So more countries gets launched out of US. US we have a goal date in February. So hopefully we're just waiting for an approval. So they needed additional data which was submitted this month in January. So we should be able to get some.
And let's assume, you know, Dalba does not come to you instead. Would we still be able to maintain the mid-teen growth that we've been guiding to?
So there are additional batches, additional demand which came from Europe. So that will at least offset some of the gain, even some of the losses if you don't get an approval. But hopefully they're also trying to get a player so that we can ship out some batches. So if that happens, you know, we'll see some numbers coming for the US as well.
Okay. And how should we think about the growth from here for FY27, you know, for the base business? So, Nexi, like you mentioned, it's, you know, the 200 million euro base, which we should grow on. But for the base business, what's the, you know, growth? Because even for Europe, if we see the CMO contract is ramping up much slower than what we would have expected. So is it possible for us to maintain this mid-teen growth, you know, going, or should we see this growth momentum possibly move, you know, given the investments we're making?
I think overall, as a company, we should be growing at 12-13%. At least that's the minimum confidence we have. And if the CMS get faster approval in Europe, where the variation filing is happening, and if you get that earlier than anticipated, so we thought it, at least in second half of this year, we should get some quantities. If that happens, it will be a bit more, but I think 13%, 12-13% is, I think, the best bet.
The CMS approval is expected this year, in fiscal 26, right, the remaining 2 months.
That's a meaningful business. The variation filing is happening in different countries in Europe. So approval is expected in 6 months. If that happens, then it could be a little higher. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from Ashish from Leo Capital. Please go ahead.
By when do we expect the 140 million pen cartridge capacity for GLP-1 to be operational, and what sort of orders from customers or commitments do we have on it?
So first and foremost, let me take this. 140 million is a fungible capacity. It has both cartridges and vials, number one. Number two, we have launched our first GLP in Canada last quarter, liraglutide, and there's a US approval coming through.
Already
approved in US.
Launched in January
already in the US. We are contracted two to three more GLP players, and there is a pipeline of around 6 or 7 players more to be contracted. From an FY, and we are also looking beyond the GLPs, you know, for this cartridge line, like insulins and insulin analogs. So we are in talks with one of a very important big insulin players for the capacity that we have. So overall, looking at things, you know, we can look at in FY27 around 15 to 20 million utilization. It would take some time for us to completely utilize 140. Okay, but this is what the visibility is as of now.
Okay.
So as of now, the capacity is 40 million, just to be clear, and then 100 million is getting added this year.
Right.
But the idea is not, you're going to fill up the line with GLP-1 in near term. The idea is to have these capacities ready because of the contract what we have. But in the meantime, we also, and that's the reason why we have a punchable line where we can fill vials and cartridges in one line, syringes and cartridges in the other line. So we can utilize for other products also. But I think the 40 million probably will fill up faster because of the insulin discussions what we're having with the partners.
Got it. Would you say capacities for fill and finish on the pen cartridge side are in shortage right now and there is significant capacity build out ahead of the patent expiry?
It depends how the market pans out, right? I mean, if it really pans out like what they're saying, there's not enough capacity, but we also need to see how the molecules will pan out. So our next, at least next 3-4 years forecast, we're not considering too much of GLP-1, you know, because one is, of course, the patent situation and also the other, how the pricing will pan out. So the numbers, what we are projecting is very minimum revenue numbers we're allocating to GLP-1. If it really happens like the market is saying, then it will be additional numbers what we could get to in addition to the guidance what we are giving.
Got it. Got it. Thank you. Thank you for taking my question.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from Bino Pathiparampil from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. So, partly answered my question, just wanted to know, have you already tied up some semaglutide contracts for FY27 within your capacity, or is it all liraglutide as of now?
No, we have signed up with several semaglutide generics also. Yeah, even that we have signed up.
So, including semaglutide, you are saying only about 30 million of your 40 million capacity will be utilized in FY27.
See, if you add up, you know, the customers are estimating and you project it, will be a huge number. So we don't want to be too optimistic on that. You know, we have to be a little conservative on how the market is behaving because we also need to look at one of the key areas is we don't want to sell at a price where it's not workable. So from capacity perspective, we have built in, but as a de-risking strategy, we took a fungible line so that we can also use it for other products. So, but what we are saying is in addition to GLP, we are also, because we are already making insulin for Eli Lilly for several years. So we also have that experience. So we're talking to insulin manufacturers who have commercialized this product in large numbers. So that could be a big item for this line, at least for the 40 million line. In the meanwhile, we look at how the market behaves and if you have to sign more contracts or are the contracts what you've signed is good enough to fill those lines.
Got it. And when do you expect the additional 100 million capacity to be online?
That will be next 5 months. The line is actually getting delivered this week, next week, sorry. So by the time validations and everything will happen, maybe 4 months. So by second quarter, the line will be ready to take exhibit batches.
Oh, okay, understood. And one last question. After several quarters of U.S. revenue around high 90s million dollar per quarter, this quarter you have shown some improvement in U.S. or developed markets to around $100 million. Do you think there is a chance that this can dip below that further, or you know, this will be a new base on which you will grow on a quarterly basis?
I did mention in today's call and also previous calls that some of the contracts of our top 10 products what we launched, the GPO contracts a few years ago, we got it three quarters ago. The supplies would be starting from third or fourth quarter of FY26. And that's why you're seeing the uptick. I mean, if you see the volumes compared to previous quarters, it's higher. I mean, the volumes are almost 19%. Higher if you look at year on year, and I think 16% on quarter on quarter. So these volumes are some coming from the new contracts what you've signed up, and you know this will get annualized next year. So it's basically what we lost, we got it back this year, I would say.
Great, thank you. I'll join back.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Sajal Kapoor from Antifragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. Mr. Sadhu, beyond the reported turnaround at Cenexi, and congratulations, by the way, you have been sounding very positive over the previous few earnings call that this business will turn around. Now that the turnaround has happened, the question or the optics will now obviously shift to the EBITDA margin and the ROCE, because it's a relative to our base business where we were before the acquisition, we were a lot higher on the EBITDA as well as the ROCE, as both those metrics have been diluted by Cenexi. So what is the steady state, maybe a midterm 3-year kind of a roadmap to try and bridge the gap both on the ROCE as well as the EBITDA between our base business and Cenexi?
And one of the initiatives, I mean, of course, we are still working on efficiencies at Cenexi to improve the EBITDA. On the BD front, we have integrated Gland and Europe BD. Sometimes it cannot reflect directly into Cenexi's business, but it also, as a consult company, you should start looking at it. I mean, if you look at this quarter itself, our milestone income in the U.S. actually has come down drastically, but overall it's only 2% decrease because most of the actually milestone also came from our contracts in Europe. So you should also see that how the Cenexi and Gland together is also helping the company, which you talked about initially, but the focus was mostly on how to turn around. But also you should see in parallel what are the synergies you can get out of this business, which will not directly seen from Cenexi's business, but as a consult business, what you can get out of this. So you will see the European business growing. And we also have to see, you know, the 35% business is great, but also we have to see how dependent on are we on US. We have seen 2 years back when we had a setback, you know, we were so dependent on US, we decided, okay, we need to de-risk ourselves, right? So you should also look at, now today we are dependent on US for 50% of business, so 25% is in Europe. Now the quality of the business we do, we have to improve for sure. One is of course in getting the efficiencies back. Second, how to improve the portfolios of Cenexi. And that's the reason why you see investments going into higher end products, not just ampule business which is there. And you know, in pharma it takes time, so you know, it's that transition we are doing. And also it has capabilities which Gland can exploit, whether it is hormonal products, you know, which you can't make, or the controlled substances which you can't make. Now again, you have to look at from a synergy perspective. So as Gland, we cannot do those kind of products. With Cenexi, we can do that product. So in the future, you might see revenues coming out of Gland based business, but it wouldn't have happened if you don't have Cenexi. So as a company, I think we should start looking at how Cenexi has contributed to Gland, how Gland has contributed to Cenexi, rather than independently looking at Cenexi and see, because that's how when you make an acquisition, we just don't look at the single business. You see as a whole how the business works. And I think that's what we tend to tell that, okay, fine, we are turning it around, but how Cenexi is also contributing to us. So we see several our development projects now. We have started R&D and some products where Gland cannot do it because of the facilities what we don't have, where Cenexi has. So we start manufacturing from there. So I think from a long-term strategic perspective, it's a move we consciously took. Yeah, it took time for 2 years to get it turned around, and you know, it's our first acquisition. And we are integrating it, so you see more positive results independently for Cenexi and also as a consult company.
Sure, that's very helpful, and thank you for detailing the response, which kind of helps us better understand the overall synergies and the dynamics, because we just absolutely agree that you can't just look at the individual businesses as individual parts. You have to look at the whole. So I completely appreciate that. Thank you. My second and last question is regarding this biologic CDMO. So we are tripling the capacity, right? If I'm not mistaken, from 8 million or 8 KL to 23 KL. What is the expected ROCE, and is this capacity expansion all backed by sort of contracts that we have signed either with Dr. Reddy's or otherwise? I mean, how confident are we in terms of utilizing this enhanced capacity, and what is the hurdle rate in terms of return on capital?
So this is a greenfield. We'll be building this capacity in Shamipet beside our existing 8 care. So we are in a stage where we don't have, because in typical CDMO business, you have to build the capacity and then, sign the contracts. But we are in active discussion with players for the products there. So at this point of time, we'll not be able to put a number to that. But our hurdle rate for any investment is, of course, 20% IRR. So that we keep in mind when we make our internal investment projections.
That's helpful. Thank you so much and all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Sion from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening and thanks for taking my question. Ravi, in case of, the ESOP charges that you take, how should we think about this year, next year, and will it sort of come down going forward?
So current quarter is 14 crores, and typically it would be, go down for this grant as we see next year. And of course, this ESOP started from middle of Q1. So full year, if you annualize, it will be a little higher than this year's cost. But then it's not the full ESOP scheme, so we may have future grants also given. In that case, the cost may go up. So we'll not be able to exactly quantify what's going to be the ESOP cost next year. But typically, we have a where the vesting is over a period of 3 years. So it gets distributed over a period of 3 years, any new grants.
Okay. And also this 15 to 20 million that you mentioned about utilization for the new cartridge line for fiscal 27, how should we think about in 28 if you have any visibility around that?
So we spoke this capacity utilization with insulin. As Mr. Sadhu also told, we are talking to a big pharma company on the insulin side. And on the other hand, there is a pipeline of 7 to 8 GLP-1 customers also where the talks are going on. So I think 28 will be far, far better than 27. I don't have a number now, but we are looking very positive and very, very optimistic about, taking this line ahead.
Great. So just, for fiscal 28, as you see GLP scale up, you see the CDMO contract coming through. And also, you talked about synergy benefits coming out of Cenexi. So for the base business, should we expect stronger growth in fiscal 28 versus 12-13% that you talked about for fiscal 27?
So we are looking at 15% CAGR 5 years as a company, other than the inorganic what we may do in next few years. As organic, we look at 15% CAGR for 5 years.
Okay. And just one question, if I can ask, regarding the synergy from Cenexi, since it's stabilizing, how should we think about that? I mean, if you can give some color on the kind of discussion you are having that the base business can get impacted and the trajectory around that, like I would assume, these things take time. So is there a point where you see inflection happening on account of Cenexi, the synergy benefits for the base business?
So as Mr. Sadhu said, we have integrated the BD, which means we have a lot of customers who wanted to make in Europe. This integrated BD team will cross-sell each other's capacity. This is one part of it. The second part of it is also
We will have full year of Line G, which is a high-speed line that we installed last year. Okay, we are also installing another high-speed line there. We have seen ramp up in HSE of the inactivated vaccine and also on the Opthalgel. With respect to synergy, yes, BD, as I told you, there's a tech transfer synergy of there's a knowledge transfer happening between both the tech transfer team. There's a synergy around efficiency, there's a synergy around quality teams and all of that. Yes, a lot of synergies are at play. Okay, difficult to quantify at this point in time, but we have seen, we have taken baby steps and we have seen benefit coming out of this synergy.
So just to add to on the software aspect, from the BD perspective, several customers, we are doing a joint tendering now. Especially we have, we discussed about capacities earlier in the call. We have a lot of ampule capacities. And there are a lot of tenders, global tenders coming from the big pharma to consolidate ampule business. So we have actually participated in two tenders where some volumes, we have quoted from Cenexian and probably 70% from Gland. So these kind of stuff will happen. I mean, when I'm saying 15% CAGR, we have not included these because these are happening. But we are pretty confident because if you look at how the entire market scenario is, even the companies are trying to integrate 15-16 CMO services to one company, and we have all that under one roof. So we did participate in two large tenders, 60-70 million ampule tenders jointly. And, there are also products, the companies who are taking CDMO services from Cenexi, they are actually talking to us to in-license products from Gland. So that will open up. So we have licensed four products last quarter in Europe. That's where you see some milestone income from Europe as well. So that has also panned out well. So if you start launching those products in Europe, you see some revenue coming out of in that market also. So that's again, ongoing process where it's a new entry for us in terms of filing dossiers in Europe. We have just four approvals which we have licensed out, but that is a growing business. So in that sense, a lot of companies are trying to license products. That's one area we're looking at. And also, we are also giving companies opportunity to grow their business because of the cost structure in Europe. They're not able to compete well in the ROW markets, so they're losing share. So we are offering services to them in India so that they can get a better pricing so they can increase the volumes as well. So yeah, so several areas we are working together.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from Abdul Qadir Piranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So my first question is pertaining to your Europe business. So for Gland and Cenexi, both of these segments, we have seen very good growth this particular quarter. So just wanted to understand here that, what is the kind of opportunity you're seeing in Cenexi first on this inactivated vaccine and, this sterile gel. And for Gland as well, would this quarterly run rate be sustainable in the quarters ahead as well?
Okay, so on these two products, inactivated vaccine, and the sterile gel, there is a ramp up that we have seen, and these are products from the innovative pharma side. Okay, inactivated vaccine though is seasonal, but we have seen more ramp up quarter by quarter. This will continue to grow, and similarly the Opthal sterile gel. On the other question that you asked on the growth, yes, as I told in the past that the effort still continues, but all the effort that we started beginning of 2025 is now showing results in some way. We'll push the pedal more, and we make sure that on an annualized basis, Cenexi remains on course, and we confident on Cenexi's medium and long term growth.
Understood. And this is on your, gross margins for the base business. So despite, Europe share going up significantly as compared to where you were last year. I think the gross margins are still better. So would it be fair to assume that the new businesses are at par at what you are currently doing in US or in Europe itself?
To be honest, actually, if you look at the prices-wise, it is down. But we become more efficient, I would say, with initiatives which we took. So that's why we're able to maintain the margins and be more aggressive in terms of pricing. So if you see, there was a price drop of almost 5-6% if you compare to the previous, but still we're able to maintain margins because our costs have come down. And that's why we are seeing more volumes, same margin, but lower pricing. So it kind of nullified that. And that's more only because of the internal efficiency. We came out increasing batch sizes. We have invested. There was a question around CapEx. Actually, we invested into large capacity tanks, so that will increase the batch size. So some investments have went into that. So to reduce our costs. And that's what you're seeing now. So it, basically, it's aggressive pricing, reduce cost internally, so to be more attractive in terms of market scenario, which gave us volumes also.
Okay. And one more on the co-development partnership products. So the 15 products what you have, which will begin in 2028. So what is the TAM for these 15 products? And from an F28 perspective, how many products of that, we should see getting commercialized?
Give me a second now.
We will come back to you on this question. Can you hear? Yes. Hello.
Mr. Abdul Qadir, can you hear us?
Hello. I think we lost you.
Due to time constraints, we'll have to take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management team for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today. We appreciate your participation in the question and answer session during the call. If you have any follow-up questions, please feel free to reach out to us. We look forward to connecting with you again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Gland Pharma Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.